It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones want foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three. Good!
You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Tuesday edition of the show in progress. I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio. It is February 14 of 2023, also known as Valentine's Day. And because I'm like the guy who will always point you in the right direction with things. Hear me point you in the right direction for all the guys out there that may be making their last minute plans right now, driving home from work going, oh my goodness, Cole, it is Valentine's Day. The Super Bowl was on Sunday. It completely escaped my mind. What am I going to do? Is just swinging by the shop and getting the box of chocolates and flowers enough? Well, if you need something to put it over the top this evening, no, I'm not going there. White Castle. Yes, White Castle with their wonderful butter burgers. And they don't even deserve this free pub. They don't advertise with us. But in the interest of helping all of my brethren out there with their last-minute Valentine's Day, Valentine's Night plans, White Castle is here for you. They are offering a fine dining experience at participating restaurants that began at 4 o'clock and ends at 9 o'clock tonight. You go in, you get seated, you have a hostess or a host that comes to the table, you have your, you put your order in, there are accoutrements, maybe. I'm not sure. I cannot confirm nor deny that there may be deep red tablecloths at White Castle tonight. But boy, what a romantic experience it sounds like can be had at the home of the world's greatest previously frozen, custard butter burgers. So you're welcome. And this advice is free. So remember that as well. Not only does Cole point me in the right direction so frequently, but his advice is always free. So there you go. You know, get the flowers, get the chocolates, but put it over the top tonight at White Castle with their special, exclusive Valentine's Day dining experience. All right, moving on. To what I would consider to be more important matters than a made-up commercial holiday. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. Whether you're tuned in on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColeBear. And like the Facebook page. Type in 1650thefan on the Zuck machine. You'll find us. Hammer that like button. Your experience will improve. I've done the math. It checks out. Also, check out that website not only for the stream, but that's where you get the podcast of this show. That is where you get all sorts of local and statewide sports content. A lot of the great stuff that I bring you to begin each show throughout the week, you can find it earlier in the day on the website. So bookmark it, 1650thefan.com. If you want to join in today with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800, I got my smoker's cough, excuse me, 800-913-9479, or you could email the show, email address cole@1650thefan.com. Area sports news and scores to get to, like usual, here in just a few short moments. We'll do just that. After we're done there, we will take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN Action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Las Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. We'll come back from that first timeout, and David Eichold, our friend from HawkeyeInsider.com and the 24/7 Sports Network will join us. We'll talk Iowa men's and women's basketball. And something that I'm eager to talk to David about today is Iowa women's basketball, looking back at last Thursday night when the Hawkeyes went on the road and took on a second-ranked Indiana team and fell short in that game. I think it was 87-76 or 87-78 was the final of that one. And, you know, as much, I they're so fun to watch, okay? Caitlin Clark and that Iowa women's basketball team is just so, so fun to watch. But here's the thing. When they get up against, you know, these top five, top seven, top eight teams in the country, the thing that sticks out to me, and I don't want this to come off wrong here. They're an incredible Iowa women's basketball, incredibly talented team. They could make a Final Four as currently constructed. They could. I don't think they're going to, though. And I think they'll have their work cut out for them to get to the Elite Eight. I definitely see a Sweet 16 in their future, but I think most of us that watch this team go, well, they want more than a Sweet 16. They should want more than a Sweet 16. They're capable of more than a Sweet 16. It's a team that should make the Elite Eight. It's a team that could make the Final Four, maybe a national championship. But in watching that Indiana game, and credit to Indiana, they're a really good team, a really, really good team. That's why they have that small number next to their name. But Iowa, they just do not string together stops defensively. Obviously, they are such an offensive juggernaut that in most cases, 9 times out of 10 or 49 times out of 50, or when you think about it in the context of a college basketball season, 25 times out of 30 or 30 times out of 35, they're just going to outscore you, outshoot you, outscore you, out-offense you. But when you play these top, top-shelf teams, you don't have to necessarily be great offensively, or defensively, I should say, if you are an offensive juggernaut, and they are. But there's going to be some moments in the game where you need to be able to buckle down, string a few stops together. Iowa plays very opportunistically on defense. They get their hands in passing lanes, creates a lot of runouts, it creates a lot of offense, but it gets them burned a lot as well. And it also, I think, by nature of playing so opportunistically on defense, that some of the, you know, more fundamental principles are lost by nature of that. So I want to dig into this with David when he joins us in the next segment of today's show. After we're done talking to Iowa men's and women's basketball with David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that break, come back on the other side, and it's been a while, but our friend Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register is making a return today in the third segment. We'll talk a little Iowa State women's basketball with Tommy, and Tommy as well being the intrepid Iowa Cubs beat reporter for the Des Moines Register. We'll talk about the Cubs and Major League Baseball pitchers and catchers reporting today across the sport. So we'll dig into that as well when Tommy joins us in the third segment of today's show. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, as well as Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then we'll come back for a final time and wrap up the show. All right, let's go ahead, dive right in here. Yesterday in girls class 3A regional bowling, Waterloo West qualified for state. Wahawks were the top team at the Marshalltown Regional. West topped Ottumwa by 31 pins. The Wahawks, Sydney Wilson, Ainsley McConaughey, and Samantha Camillo will be competing as well in the individual tournament. In Class 2A, Waterloo East senior Cadence Hyde qualified for next week's individual tournament with a 566 series. Boys high school postseason basketball began last night with Class 1A and 2A first-round games. You heard one of them right here on The Fan, and that was the Dunkerton Raiders just rolling right past Riceville, 95-46 the final of that one. Belle Plaine got the best of Don Bosco, 55-54. South Hardin defeated Janesville, 58-40. North Butler beat St. Ansgar, 49-35. Tripola fell short to South Wind, 72-63. Clarksville also took a loss, 65-36 to Maquoketa Valley. Wapsie Valley outscored Key, 83-63. Nashua Plainfield ran past Waterloo Christian, 80-63. Gladbrook Rhinebeck hammered BGM, 85-31. And Keota defeated North Tama, 78-46. Meanwhile, in area Class 2A games, Cascade defeated Waterloo Columbus, 59-37. Dyke New Hartford took care of Belmont Clemmy, 68-42. Union edged East Marshall, 73-72. Sumner Fredericksburg cut down Forest City, 73-65. And Denver knocked off Oline, 58-52. The Iowa High School Athletic Association has released boys sub-state basketball pairings for Class 3A and 4A. In 4A matchups involving metro schools, Cedar Falls is in sub-state 2, received a first-round bye. The Tigers will host the winner between Dowling Catholic and Fort Dodge a week from this Friday on the 24th. Meanwhile, Waterloo West and Waterloo East are both in sub-state 5. Waterloo East is going to host Iowa City High in a first-round game this coming Monday, the 20th. Waterloo West received a first-round bye and will take on the winner of Cedar Rapids Washington and Cedar Rapids Jefferson, also a week from this Friday, on the 24th. Meanwhile, tonight in boys regular season metro basketball games, Cedar Falls playing host to Dubuque Hempstead. You can hear that game over on our companion station tonight, Cruising KCFI. Pregame coverage with Dave Finnegan beginning around 7:15. And Waterloo West is on the road at Dubuque Senior. Girls High School Regional Basketball continues tonight across the state. Quarterfinal games in 1A and 2A. Meanwhile, regional semifinals in 3A and quarterfinal contests in 4A and 5A begin tomorrow night. The Iowa State women's basketball team got a nice win last night, snapping its three-game losing streak, defeating Big 12 leader Texas 66-61 last night at Hilton Coliseum. Victory was Cyclones coach Bill Finley's 750th career win. Iowa State led at halftime by 9. They were up by as much as 15 in the fourth quarter. Texas put on a press and rallied. Got it to 57-53 with 3 minutes left, but Iowa State was able to hang on. Ashley Jones led the way with 24 points. And finally, UNI's Parker Kekeisen has been named the Big 12 Conference's Wrestler of the Week. He earns the recognition after recording a 7-5 decision over number 4 Marcus Coleman in UNI's dual loss this past Friday night to third-ranked Iowa State. It was the third win of the season over a top-5 ranked opponent for the redshirt sophomore, who is ranked second in the nation at 184 pounds. Kekeisen is currently on an 11-match winning streak and is 17-1 this season. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN action update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, joins us. We're breaking it down, Iowa men's and women's basketball. That's next on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
Sports Flash.
Well, the Indianapolis Colts waited a long time to find their new head coach after firing Frank Reich midseason. The long search ended with Shane Steichen introduced today. He goes from leading the offense of the NFC champs to taking over a team that was 4-12-1. Big step, but he's pumped to get started.
Obviously, being in charge of the whole football team is a big challenge, one I'm excited about. Looking forward to getting to know these players and building this culture the right way, but really looking forward to it.
The 37-year-old has a good history with quarterbacks. The Colts are most likely looking at one with a fourth pick in the upcoming draft. The Eagles are now losing both of their coordinators, with Jonathan Gannon becoming the new head coach of the Cardinals. Former Colts and Lions head man Jim Caldwell is joining Frank Reich with the Panthers as a senior assistant. The Ravens spoke with 14 candidates before landing Todd Monken as their new offensive coordinator. The 57-year-old last in the NFL with the Browns in 2019. He had spent the last three seasons at Georgia and is replaced there by Mike Bobo. Derek Carr can choose his next destination after being released by the Raiders before the $40 million guarantee on his contract kicked in. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Hey, it's DA. Be sure to listen to CBS Sports Radio at home. Ask Alexa to play CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
The Waterloo Blackhawks are on your smart speaker. Just say, hey, Alexa, play 1650 The Fan.
Catch the fast-paced excitement of U&I basketball at the McLeod Center. Pack the Mac. The Panthers host in-state rival Drake Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. Panther Nation, wear your purple. It's a purple out. Panther basketball Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, McLeod Center. Get your tickets today at unipanthers.com/promo or call 273-4849. That's 273-4849.
My name is Heather Marquez, and I am with Action Coach Mind Links. I had been focusing my business originally on leadership development, and after about 4 years, what I realized was there was something missing. And having a 25-year background in operations, I wasn't using any of that knowledge. When I found Action Coach, it really gave me the tools and resources to incorporate all of that and make the wheel I already had grow and be able to move faster. The important thing when I'm talking about Action Coach Mind Links to take into consideration is it's not where I'm coming in and I tell any business owner how to do their job. It's really about helping business owners become more educated, remind them of the things they already know, and then help them get clear so that they can take the actions that are going to help them get to the ultimate goals that they have. Visit my website at heathermarquez.actioncoach.com. A coach is about helping you get clear on what you should do based on your goals.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
Big 12 basketball tonight. It's number 5 Kansas laying 2.5 at Oklahoma State. 138.5 the total at Gallagher-Iba Arena. The Cowboys have won 5 straight. Kansas State, number 12 of the country, a 1-point favorite at Oklahoma. Sooners have dropped 8 of 9 against top 25 opponents, a total 141.5. The Sooners have dropped 4 straight. Coming up tomorrow, Iowa State hosting TCU. The Cyclones are 20-1 to win the Big 12 regular season title. Iowa at home Thursday against Ohio State. Tonight in the Big Ten, it's Illinois, a 3.5-point road favorite at Penn State. Mike Sunnett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Scattered rain showers likely tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows dip down to about 29. Winds out of the south, 20 to 25 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 34. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance of snow. Lows dip down to about 17. 1 to 3 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 46.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app.
Welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. David Eichel, HawkeyeInsider.com is here, and I preface this segment by saying, I think our blood pressure is all going to be safe. We are not going to talk about Brian Ferentz in this segment. And David let out a big sigh of relief when I told him that was not on the agenda today. So, David, with that in mind, let's talk a little football first, though. What did you think of that Super Bowl? And I guess the question everybody's asking, and be it that I respect your football opinion very highly, what did you think of the holding call?
I think it was the right call, but it was the wrong time to call it. I mean, there was contact like that going all throughout the game. I think it was an incredibly critical play. But, you know, the thing is, Cole, that really stands out to me, that makes anyone's opinion about it almost irrelevant, is the player himself even said, yeah, he held the jersey. I held the jersey. I was hoping I'd get away with it. I mean, he had every reason to be incredibly upset about it, and he chose not to. He just said, yeah, you know, I'm mad myself, but, you know, they made the right call because I did hold him. So I hope that really – I wish it didn't overshadow the Super Bowl as much as it did. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, by the way, if people bet on the game, that's the last time you'll ever get plus money on Patrick Mahomes in a big game. I mean, he overcame a lot of those runs on that on an ankle sprain were unbelievable, and I think people – need to realize that Jalen Hurts is here to stay. I thought he played an outstanding, extraordinary football game, and you need to give a lot of credit to the Chiefs' offensive line because they protected Mahomes because Mahomes was, I don't know how durable he would have been if he took a few hits, and that Eagles defense had the third most sacks in NFL history, and they played a clean game. So I thought it was an awesome game.
You're hitting a lot of the same notes that I did yesterday. I think you may have been listening to yesterday's show. I agree as well with the player. You know, he fessed up afterwards. He said, you know, I had my hands on him. So, you know, for me, as someone who didn't have a dog in the fight, and then you hear especially the players say that, and then Eagles coach Nick Sirianni made the point where he's like, you know, this game didn't come down to one call. And that's something that we've talked about before. A lot of times it seems like basketball is where that one comes up. But you can, if you're at that game and you can recall so many moments, you can think like, well, there was this pocket in the game where if you didn't play, you know, like crap, you know, you wouldn't have been in position, to have one call alter you as much as you may think it might have. So, yeah, I thought overall just a really great game for the casual fan. I'm not exactly sure about the halftime show, but we'll leave that aside. That's another conversation for
another. Nicole, the important thing is the national anthem went over 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would imagine that perhaps that that loaded up the back pocket maybe a little bit for you, boy.
You know, all that and maybe the coin toss. Other than that, you know, I was very, very invested pre-game. During the game and post game, for sure.
Okay. Good. Good to know. Glad to hear it. Let's start with Iowa men's basketball. They get a win on Sunday that you would hope that they would be able to get over a really a struggling Minnesota team. 68-56 wasn't necessarily anything pretty. It's not a win that's going to get you a beauty pageant sash or anything. But any takeaways from the win over the Golden Gophers, or do you think that's just a you know, punch your time card, punch back out, move on?
I think for a team, it was just punch your time card and survive because Iowa cannot afford another bad loss. That Minnesota would have been a horrific loss. I mean, weird things happen at the barn. But from an individual standpoint, I think when you look at Chris Murray, and I wrote about this after the game, I mean, he was 4 of 15 in the first half. There's been times in the past where Chris may have, you know, turned it off a little bit. Not turned it off, but he wouldn't be as aggressive on the offensive end as maybe he normally would. But he came right back out in that second half. First possession, boom, got a layup. Went out there, 8 of 12 from the field in the second half, hauled in 7 rebounds, scored 18 points. And that really showed to me a lot because if you can have that sort of attack mode mentality and understand that you are the best basketball player on the court and continue to show it, I mean, it's such a minor game considering who they were going against. But that makes me believe that if something similar were to happen in the Big Ten tournament or the NCAA tournament, Chris is going to sit there and be like, give me the ball. I'm going to go make things happen. So I think you can flush it a little bit. Iowa didn't shoot the ball well, but I thought their activity on the offensive glass was tremendous. And I do think that there are some takeaways that you can have. But now it's just about taking care of business down the stretch. I mean, Iowa, I think, needs to go 4-2 down the stretch to have a realistic shot at getting the top 4 seed in that important double bye.
I know we've probably got to have some Minnesota fans that tune in. And what's there to be said, if anything, David, from where you sit on what if I'm not mistaken, is year two of Ben Johnson up there in Minneapolis, a former UNI Panther assistant coach on Ben Jacobson's staff, who was, you know, well-liked and, you know, well-regarded in the time that he spent in Cedar Falls. I mean, what if anything can you give us on where the Golden Gophers are?
One, I think you just need to give him a little bit more time. I mean, I think Fran summed up best. He's getting young guys in the program that want to be there, and I think they've done a decent job on the recruiting trail, and I don't think the injuries have been kind to them. I mean, they've been devastated by injuries this season, and especially for a new coach, you're trying to establish a culture, you want to rely on your more veteran guys and continue to bring in fresh young pieces. I just think you're really not going to see that sort of significant progress, not even significant progress, but a nice step in the right direction until maybe next season. I think that they've been dealt a bad deck of cards, and I'm very, very curious how they come about. But I always say Ben, you know, from everything I've heard, he seems like, you know, Ben's a really well-respected guy around the Big Ten. I think his players love playing for him, and I think he took over a really interesting situation, so I think he at least needs two more years before you really decide if he's the right coach there or not. But I think the future is bright there.
David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, our guest right now on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on Twitter at David Eicholt and bookmark the website and subscribe at HawkeyeInsider.com. David, before we talk some Iowa women's basketball, how about we just kind of we segue this way. One thing that you see right now that's really good, maybe great, that this Iowa team can hang its hat on as March draws nearer and nearer, and one thing that is not great, that may be a serious liability. If you were going to identify one thing that could be the reason they win a game in March that they really need, one thing that, you know, is probably going to be the thing that crops up that makes them lose a game, what would you say?
That's interesting. I think obviously, I could go with a very generic answer and say, well, their offense is good and their defense is horrible. But
yeah,
think it's a little bit, I think it's a little bit more than that. Offensively, I just think they do a great job moving the ball. I think they have several pieces that have proven that they can go out and get you a bucket when they need. Philip Pabracha is the most improved player in the Big Ten, in my opinion.
I think
he's been awesome this year. Chris Murray, continuing to do what he does. Peyton Sanford can get you 20 within a 6-minute stretch. Tony Perkins can take over a time or two. And Patrick McCaffrey, I think, slowly getting back to where he's going to need to be when Iowa tries to make a run in the tournament. So I think Iowa having multiple guys that can go out there and get a bucket, I think, is very, very important. On the defensive end, I think there are a variety of issues. I think Iowa's rebounding, for the most part, has gotten better. But Iowa just gets beat off the dribble way, way too much. I mean, there are times where they get in the paint and it's almost an automatic bucket. I think Iowa defensive rotation-wise isn't its strong suit, but I don't think that's the weakest point of the defense. The weakest point of defense right now is getting in those ISO moments with a quick guard that can go in there, get in the paint, and make things happen. So I think Iowa needs to find a way to tighten down. And when Iowa does commit itself to the defensive end, I actually do think that they can stop, generate some stops. I think they've proven that this season. And obviously they extend most of their energy on the offensive end, but they need to be at least a bit more consistent on the defensive end if they really realistically want to make a big run.
Sounds good to me. They're going to have their work cut out for them Thursday night when they have their rematch against Ohio State. Hopefully they don't allow themselves to get worked over like they did last time in Columbus. But I want to move on and talk Iowa women's basketball. I've started to watch Lisa Bluter's team more here lately, David, as March gets closer, and it's just a team that you know is right there in the mix. You know, potentially a team that could play for a national championship. And the first thing I'll point out with respect is this Iowa women's basketball team is so, so much better than the bottom half teams in this Big Ten Conference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that.
It's kind of gross. I mean, they're that much better. Now, in saying that, last Thursday, let's go back to that game against Indiana, the number two Hoosiers, all right? And you're playing them at their place. That's not easy. That could change quite a bit of what a game looks like, whether it's, you know, back at Carver, or you're playing obviously going forward at a neutral site. But the thing that stuck out to me, David, was, okay, they're an offensive juggernaut. Nobody's going to argue that. And I think they're really opportunistic defensively. They get their hands in passing lanes. It helps create a lot of their offense. That's the difference between scoring 88 points and 110 points sometimes. But when they needed to, albeit it's against Indiana, another national title challenger, I've seen it at other games too. They don't string defensive stops together. A lot of times, you know, it's the other team not making a shot. But in terms of playing great defense, forcing the turnover, forcing a contested shot, leading to consecutive defensive stops, I'm not seeing enough of that where I go, you know, they kind of look like the fifth or sixth best team and not the third or the second.
No, and I think that's fair. And you go back to the game against Indiana, I thought Iowa defensively, obviously they couldn't stop Mackenzie Holmes, who, by the way, needs to be in the National Player of the Year discussion. I didn't say over Caitlin, but she needs to be mentioned based on some of the other people that are being mentioned right now. And Grace Berger is tremendous. I think she's one of the best players in the conference. But Iowa, from a defensive standpoint, they are what they are. I think Iowa's improved rebounding the basketball this year. I think that's been very, very vital to them. And I think what Indiana did was very smart. They denied Monica Sozzano the ball. Monica was very frustrated in that game, and Iowa continued to try to run the offense through her for a while, and that forced Caitlin to go out there and do some crazy, crazy things. So I think you're right. I think they're a top five team right now. I don't know if they're a top two or three. Like, I think about them going up against South Carolina. I think about them going up against the UConn. I think about them going up against, you know, an LSU. And that's something where I don't know if I can pick them. I think if Indiana and Iowa play 10 times, I think each team wins 5 times. I really do. I think they're very, very close. But they are what they are, Cole. I mean, they need to – it's very almost similar to the men. I think the women have a little bit more of a defensive upside. I think they need to generate the stops they need to get. But you know what you're going to get offensively when you have the nation's best player in Caitlin Clark. So Iowa's got to rebound the ball better, and I think that they just need to continue to tweak with the defense, and they need to keep Monica and Caitlin and them out of foul trouble.
You know, another thing that came to mind, and this might say more about me than it does about the actual roster construction, was early in that game against Indiana, there was a cheap shot on Caitlin shooting a three. I can't remember who it was. I want to say it was over on the left wing. She was launching a deep one, and yep. It was like a girl kind of fell into her ankle knee area, and you could tell kind of like fell a little extra. And Caitlin takes a lot of contact. And when you're a player of her caliber, you draw the ire of your opponent. Like, the thing that came to mind for me was, I don't know a lot about hockey. I know enough about hockey to know that teams have what's called enforcers. And, you know, John Chaney years ago would have called it a goon, famously. Like, Lisa Bluter needs to go get an enforcer for Caitlin where nothing has to be said. And if you lay a finger on Caitlin Clark, guess what? See what happens the next time you come into the lane.
The crazy thing to me, Cole, is, you know, Nebraska fans across the Big Ten, they'll complain about Caitlin Clark's attitude toward officials or, you know, whatever else. I think it's illogical. I think it's uninformed. But people need to realize how much contact Caitlin Clark takes every basketball game. I mean, she is getting hit, grabbed, pulled, pushed every single play. Yep. And look, I know that people have also said, you know, with that little segment that is going on Twitter, I think I quote tweet it. That, you know, people say that wasn't a long enough clip. If you watch the game, it was pretty interesting. I'll say that. I never want to accuse a player of trying to intentionally hurt, but that wasn't the first cheap shot that Caitlin took that game. Nope. And I don't know what she tripped over. Did she trip over the painted lines? Did she trip over the logo? I mean, what are we talking about here? But Caitlin got up. It was a nervous moment, but I'm with you, man. It's very crazy to me how much contact Caitlin gets the game. And, you know, I know people say she shoots too much free throws. Cole, she probably should be shooting more free throws based on the amount of contact that she gets. I mean, I think she by far absorbs more contact than almost any other player in the conference. Mackenzie Holmes is probably going to be up there as well from Indiana.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. David, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate the time. We'll catch up again soon.
Hey, take care, buddy. I appreciate you.
David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, kind enough to join us on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up on the other side. Tommy Birch, our friend from the Des Moines Register, will join. We'll talk a little Iowa State women's basketball. And also, today, pitchers and catchers reported to spring training camps all across Major League Baseball. We'll touch on that as well with Tommy next, right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa State looks to regain its winning ways tomorrow night when the 19th-ranked Cyclones host number 22 TCU. ISU has dropped four of its last five and slipped to 7-5 in the Big 12, but coach T.J. Otzelberger says nobody's hit the panic button, and it's more the result of a difficult conference race.
Everything's in play. Everything's going to happen. You got to take it all one day at a time. Just keep focusing on doing what you can control and understand that, like, anything that's happened, I don't think it's like a trend or the sky is falling. It's more just like really good league, really good teams, really small margin. Get back to practice, do what you can, be ready for the next one.
TCU has battled through key injuries. The Horned Frogs enter the game on a 3-game losing skid. Tomorrow in Wells Fargo Arena, it's the opening day of the state high school wrestling tournament. Action begins at 9 a.m. with the first round in Class 1A. In the afternoon, it's on to Class 2A. This is Radio Iowa.
I've tried to get Anthony to eat fruits and veggies, but he refuses. Does Olivia eat them?
Yeah. Well, she learns about easy ways to eat fruits and veggies through a nutrition program at Olivia's school called Pick a Better Snack. I've learned I don't always have to just give her fresh fruits and veggies. Canned, frozen, and dried are healthy, too. Oh, and the recipes.
Sounds great.
It is. You can search Pick a Better Snack online for recipes, tips, and newsletters.
A message from USDA's SNAP and Iowa Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, Grandma. Can Nina come over for dinner?
Sure. I've been meaning to ask you, what would happen if someone offered you a drink?
Grandma!
If anyone ever does, I want you to say, no, I have too much respect for my family and I don't want to get in trouble.
I promise, Grandma.
They really do hear you. For tips on what to say, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. That's underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. This message brought to you by SAMHSA and this station.
Ever listen to your own heart beating? It's amazing. But what if this thing that's always working stopped working? The Allen Hospital Heart and Vascular Center is open around the clock to fix problems like this. Expert cardiologists and specially trained teams offer comprehensive cardiovascular services to help prevent heart disease, diagnose symptoms, and perform open heart surgery right here in the Cedar Valley. Everyone has a heart that's always working, and we celebrate all of them during Heart Month at Allen Hospital.
It's your last chance to get a free rug when you update your furniture at Menards. That's right, buy any in-stock upholstered living room furniture at $299 or more and get a free 5x7 area rug. That's $149.99 in savings. The sale ends February 18th. If you need a new chair, sectional recliner, or love seat, you better buy one today to get a free rug. Hurry to Menards while supplies last.
Save big money at Menards.
It's easy to believe you're getting a great deal if you buy a hot tub at a trade show or fair. Did you know you can get the same deal at locally owned Tubs R Us and have the peace of mind knowing we're here, as we have been here since 1994 if there's ever a problem? I'm Chris Fink. Service, chemicals, quality QCA spas, you'll find them at Tubs R Us on the corner of Falls and Ainsboro, Waterloo. See us online at TubsRUsWaterloo.com.
They say they'll get your biggest tax refund. Jackson Hewitt says your biggest tax refund guaranteed and a chance to double your tax refund. Thousands in weekly prizes during the Double Your Refund sweepstakes. Your biggest refund times two, twice the money. So forget about them. File your taxes on the double at Jackson Hewitt today. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Open to U.S. residents 18 or older who file a 2022 federal tax return. Promotion ends 4/2/23. Visit JacksonHewitt.com for rules.
We're going to skate to one song only.
You're listening to Cole and Company on The Fan in the Cedar Valley at 102.3 FM and across Eastern Iowa at 1650 AM.
Welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show rolls along. Iowa State women's basketball with a 66-61 win last night, snapped a 3-game losing streak, a win that the Cyclones needed. And, you know, who better to get it against than the Big 12 leader in the Longhorns, who they owed some payback from an ugly game down in Austin earlier this Big 12 season. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about pitchers and catchers reporting across Major League Baseball, some Cubs as well. Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register, follow him on Twitter, at Tommy Burch, joins us now. Tommy, thanks for being here, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, it's been so long since we talked. I don't know if I've told you, but, like,
I know it's been a big talking point on the show, but I finally have a snowblower.
Holy cow. This has been a loose end on this program for, I mean, over a year.
I feel like it is why your listeners tune in whenever I'm on.
I've actually gotten a couple emails. People in the community have pulled me aside and said, did Birch ever get that snowblower? So you're telling me you have it. What's the early returns on this bad boy? Did we buy enough snowblower? I'd hate to hear that you cheaped out and you're thinking, man, we get a heavy wet snow over 7-8 inches. I don't know if I got enough here.
If it's a good snowblower, and I'll tell you what, if I have to use that puppy even once, it's worth the investment because, you know, we really don't have a long driveway, but I truly underestimated just how much it would really suck having to shovel that limited driveway and the sidewalk. But now that I have the snowblower, like, man, I am marching up and down the sidewalk. I'm snowblowing. Our neighbors' neighbors, you know, if I see just a random sidewalk, I'm going to help them.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm happy for you, Tommy. I'm really happy for you.
I'm a man of the people, Cole.
You are. You are. And I'll continue to say that every time you come on the show. And I'll even tell people that who aren't asking. Hey, do you know Tommy Birch? He's a man of the people, just so you know. Okay, Tommy, you always make it so easy to segue into what we're actually going to talk about. Let's dive right in on Bill Finley's Cyclones. They needed that win last night against Texas. They had to hold on for dear life. I mean, does that maybe kind of say what this team is, where it's obviously they're not what they were when they had Stephanie Soares before she went down for the season. They're still a really good team, but, I mean, there are flaws, right?
Oh, yeah, there are big-time flaws. I mean, they're kind of the same flaws that we were talking about last year. You know, they're lacking size. They're lacking strength. They're lacking, I don't want to say toughness, because I think they have some toughness, but just that kind of physical edge. But I think what kind of makes them a little bit different than the team last year is, like, man, now they're missing depth. I mean, losing Stephanie Suarez, losing Beatrice Jordao, like, and by losing Stephanie Suarez, now you're taking somebody off the bench, throwing them into the starting lineup, whether that's Morgan Kane or Nymer Du. That means your bench is a little shorter. The bench was already a little bit shorter because Jordao retired, and then just you're not getting the productivity from the bench that you did last season, where there's really not many people you can count on. And realistically, if I would say going to have any success moving forward, they need to have great games out of Emily Ryan, Lexi Donarski, Ashley Jones. I think in the past, it was like, okay, you knew you were going to get great games out of those three, and then you kind of hoped somebody else would emerge. But
right,
because of that limited lineup, because of the depleted bench, like, those three are having to play a ton. I think the minutes are starting to add up, and the lack of depth might be finally catching up to them.
Is there anything that could develop for this team, Tommy, realistically, over the next few weeks before postseason play begins that, it may not make them an Elite Eight or a Final Four team, but it's going to give them a good boost, given the way that, kind of like we're talking about right now, they're still a really good team, but life's a little more difficult than what it was, you know, back in early January or in late December.
Yeah, I mean, somehow they have to figure out how to shoot it well. You know, they did last night. And I think that's kind of been the biggest missing thing from this season. As Iowa State was a great three-point shooting team last season. They have a roster full of women who have a long history of being great scorers, of lead scorers in high school, college, and even up until last year. You know, that's Bill Finley's kind of bread and butter, is like, they're going to play great defense, and they're going to shoot the heck out of the three-pointer. But they really haven't, and I don't know what that reason is. You know, you could say maybe it was change in philosophy offensively when they added Stephanie Suarez, and then they've had trouble going back to what they did last season. I think part of it may be kind of what I was saying before with the lack of bench and the minutes kind of piling up, leading to fatigue and just not being able to shoot as well. But you know, they shot it really well last night. They used that, the performance last night was probably the best 3-point shooting game that Iowa State has had this season. Now, I think that kind of maybe gives you some hope moving forward that, like, okay, maybe they've kind of refound that form that made them such a success last season. But realistically, it's one game out of a lot of games where you kind of go back to the point of, like, at this point, you are who you are in the season. And I think what you kind of are looking at is, like, okay, maybe this is more of an abnormality for Iowa State strong shooting than it is an awakening.
Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register, kind enough to join us on this Tuesday edition of Cole and Company. All right, Tommy, let's table the basketball talk. Let's talk some baseball, man. Love is in the air for this guy, and it's because pitchers and catchers are reporting today. Pitchers and catchers reporting across Major League Baseball. And, Tommy, it's fair to say, I don't know. I could be wrong. These rules changes, these are the dominant storyline headed into this season, are they not? Does anything measure up to the rule changes headed into the 2023 Major League Baseball season?
No, not really. I mean, there have been some big free agent signings, but I think, you know, the Carlos Correa kind of mystery was a big offseason story. But now that I think that finally got settled, at least going into spring training, now that you're going to really see these changes. But let's not forget, like, these are changes that, if you're a diehard baseball fan or you follow minor league baseball, you've seen this stuff over the last year, from the bigger bases to the pitch clock. Obviously, the big new thing is going to be banning the shift. But it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out, because even at the minor league level, when it came to the pace of play, pitch clock, you know, there was an adjustment that needed to take place. I remember, the first year that they did, there was kind of a grace period for the first month. And then after that, they were like, okay, we are now enforcing it. The first month was just warnings. And the first game that they were enforcing it, the Iowa Cubs had pinch hitter in the bottom of the ninth inning when they were trailing by one. He was in the bathroom, didn't get out of the bathroom in time to get to the plate, and went to the box behind him to count 0-1. So,
wow.
You know, maybe we'll see stuff like that.
Wow.
But the pace of play clock works as long as it is enforced, and I think it will be enforced at the big league level. But to me, the most interesting thing is going to be the panning of the shift and what type of impact that has on the game moving forward in terms of just opening up more offense and seeing more movement offensively, because I don't think you're going to get that from the bigger bases. You didn't get it really in the minor leagues. I don't think adding a bigger bag is going to incentivize trying to steal bases. I think that's going to factor in more of a safety aspect.
Tommy, I can hear the people out there. They know you're the Iowa Cubs beat reporter. They know you're connected at all levels as it relates to Cubs baseball, and they're going, come on, ask him about the Cubs. Obviously, we've got Cubs baseball here on the Fan, and, you know, Tommy, I think it's worth stepping back and going, okay, the Cubs finished the second half last season 39-31, played some pretty impressive baseball. They got, in particular, really nice pitching in the second half. Then they go out, they sign Dansby Swanson to play shortstop. They sign a 2/3 starter in Jameson Taillon. They sign a potential bounce-back candidate, former MVP in Cody Bellinger. They sign a right-handed bat who was an all-star before his battle with cancer and has, you know, had a good season last year. And Trey Mancini can play first base in the outfield, can DH. They take a flyer for pennies on Eric Hosmer, who's basically going to be playing to keep himself in the game. They sign a couple arms for their bullpen that have been really good lately in Brad Boxberger and Michael Fulmer. They go all defense behind the plate with Tucker Barnhart pairing him with Yan Gomes. It's something. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to amount to, but it's got to amount to something, Tommy. I mean, setting aside all the national talk out there that's rather pessimistic about the Cubs, what do you think after hearing me tell you what you already knew, all these guys that they went out and signed? They signed more major league players than any other team, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a good offseason for the Cubs in terms of what they went out and got. You know, they got some foundational pieces. I think they got some pieces that helped them get to, like, some of those core minor league players. You know, the one thing you don't want to do is, you know, bring up some of those young guys like the Matt Mervis, you know, the Vernon Davis, the Pete Crow Armstrong, you know, guys like that. If you look at, like, okay, these guys are potentially long-term pieces to the puzzle. You want to give them enough time to get experience and time to develop. And I think that's part of the reason why they went out and got guys like Hosmer, got Bellinger. And two, I think it also helps, like, okay, if you aren't competing where you want to be competing, or you don't think this is the year that you're going to make a legit run, you have some guys that you can ship off for pieces to the puzzle for down the road to get you more prospects. So a lot of these guys are low-risk, possible high-reward stuff. I mean, the flyer that you took on Hosmer will cost you nothing. The Bellinger deal isn't going to lock you up really long-term. They're all safe, but possible, you know, really good signings. So, but like I said, when it comes to guys like Dansby Swanson, I think obviously those are foundational pieces that you're going to lock in and be a part of whatever this next big run is. So I think they accomplished everything that you could have done outside of going out and getting that number one. I think that's kind of a glaring hole it's missing for the Cubs right now. It's kind of that go-to guy, that number one stopper. But maybe that's something that you get with guys that you have on the roster right now, or maybe that's something you go out and sign next offseason. It might not be something that you necessarily need this season if you're thinking, like, okay, the Cubs aren't going to make a run to the World Series. It seems like a team that could make a run to the postseason, but probably not a deep run in the postseason.
Tommy, great stuff, man. I got to run. Awesome to catch up with you, and congratulations again on your snowblower.
Thank you. I'm very proud. I appreciate you having me so I could brag about it.
We'll talk again soon, my man.
Thanks, Cole. Good hearing from you.
Yeah, likewise, brother. Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register, kind enough to join us on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Let's take this final time out. We come back, wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Bridget Condon with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. After winning his second Super Bowl and second Super Bowl MVP award in 4 years, all that was left for Patrick Mahomes was to go to Disneyland. That's where the Chiefs quarterback spent Monday, and he says he and his teammates are happy to prove wrong all the people who wrote the Chiefs off after the trade of Tyreek Hill.
You hear how not good we're going to be. I'm not a guy that's going to respond and say stuff back to people or anything like that on social media. I'm just going to go out there and prove it on the football field. And once you do that, there's nothing they can really say. As long as Andy Reid's coaching us, we're always going to have a chance. So I'll keep the big guy around a couple more years at least, and we'll try to be back in this game as many times as possible.
And Reid made clear Monday he's sticking around a while, saying he has no plans to retire. But the Chiefs could be losing offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. The Commanders are planning to interview him this week for their offensive coordinator job. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The Las Vegas Raiders came into this season as a popular pick to compete in the AFC, even win their division. But this season didn't shake out the way the Raiders expected. Despite the additions of All-Pro Devontae Adams and Chandler Jones, the Raiders regressed this season. With just 1 year under head coach Josh McDaniels, panicking may be premature. But after Derek Carr officially enacted his no-trade clause, the Raiders could be in trouble. The club now has no leverage in a deal with Carr, and if released, the team will be forced to eat $5 million in dead cap space and be unable to collect any additional value for parting ways with the four-time Pro Bowler. Vegas is still an intriguing opening for plenty of veteran quarterbacks this summer, but if the team falls short of landing a reliable starter this offseason, failing to collect any valuable assets in exchange for a franchise quarterback could prove to be a costly mistake. Raiders. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
Well, I finally done it. It took a little while, but I switched. PXG got more distance, more forgiveness, and the quality of the materials is second to none. If you're looking to get a performance out of your golf clubs, you should try a fitting with PXG. Fantastic hands-on, and they compare your current setup to their equipment and show you exactly what you need and what you'll gain by stepping up to PXG. Visit PXG.com or call 844-PLAY-PXG or go to a PXG store near you to schedule a fitting. and tell them I sent you. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite restaurant or cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard. That's also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. No, Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see the terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back for a final time on this Tuesday edition of the show. Got to thank David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com and Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register. If you missed any of it, it'll be available shortly in podcast form at 1650thefan.com. Folks, lock your radio bright and early to The Fan tomorrow. Our hold-by-hold coverage of the 2023 High School State Wrestling Tournament begins at 9 a.m. Have the coffee ready. Fire it up on the app, on your smart speaker, on the stream, on 1650 AM or 102.3 FM. The one and only Steve Kapp is back again for us. Best of luck to all our metro and area wrestlers. Enjoy the tournament. Enjoy your night.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.